minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. It is Monday afternoon. How we doing out there? Northern Colorado, Greeley, Fort Collins, Loveland, Eaton, Kersey, Ault. I'm saying small towns. Other places, Windsor. How we doing out there today? First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. And preseason game one is in the books. The Broncos win 33-6 against Minnesota's JV team. I don't know how many of the starters were actually there playing for the Vikings. But I got to tell you this, if you're doing Vikings radio this morning, or you're listening to Vikings radio this morning, here's the talk. Starters better not get injured ever, because if this was a bunch of second stringers and third stringers in the mix, then yeah, that's going to be rough. They looked awful. Broncos looked perfect. And really, some are saying no separation still in the quarterback battle. We're going to get into all that. Zach Stevens will join me at 12:15 today. At 1 o'clock, as we switch gears, this all football season. I think we're the only show in America right now. Maybe not now, because it's, you know. But one of them that actually gets a Division I college football player in studio for his own show for one full hour to discuss insight into what's going on with Colorado State, but other things too. Ellison Hubbard, great guy. The Ellison Hubbard Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, starts at 1 o'clock. So we'll get into all things Rams. They had a scrimmage over the weekend. So excited about that. Going to get into the Mountain West Mountain with him as well. Just kind of look around. But today's going to be a lot of football, Colfax. I mean, rightfully so. You had the first real week of preseason football. Of course, you had the Hall of Fame game 2 weeks ago. But this was the opportunity to see really a bunch of quarterbacks. That's what everybody wants to see. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields. You saw Mac Jones on Thursday. It was exciting. I got to say, this is probably the most exciting preseason opening week that I've ever witnessed, just because of all these quarterbacks doing great things. But the task at hand, Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater. If Drew Lock can make plays like this to KJ Hamler, then, I mean, game over. Let's go with Drew.
Put up aggressively.
Uh-oh. KJ Hamler, center of the field, got behind Dantzler, who ain't running right. 80-yard touchdown. Lock. Hamler.
Was that? I think that was Minnesota's radio people. They were so, Oh, boy. So, Drew Lock, 5 for 7. 151 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was impressive. The only flaw he had was on that first possession. Tries to throw a slant route to Jerry Jeudy in the end zone. And one could argue that was defensive pass interference. But it wasn't really a bad throw. He gave Jeudy kind of a shot for it. It was one of those plays where you go, was that a bad throw? Or is that just really great defense? And I'll give Minnesota that. On that play, that was pretty good defense. Other than that, Locke was, dare I say, flawless. His rating was 153. So he goes out later in the second, and you're thinking, oh, man, Drew's going to run away. We're going to start to see some separation here. Not so fast. All the pressure switches over to Teddy Bridgewater, and Teddy makes a nice little throw in the end zone.
Teddy out of the shotgun, 2 receivers right, 1 left, 3rd and goal from the 4. Fade back right of the end zone. Touchdown, Denver Broncos. Couple of TD receptions for Trinity Benson.
Trinity Benson, that's another big name, too, that lit it up over the weekend. Teddy had a rushing touchdown before that, and it was called back because of a penalty. But I like what he said in the post game. He said, hey, I remember playing against Von Miller. I put the same kind of weird spin move with an offensive lineman in front of me, kind of one of those weird jerky moves. And it didn't work. Vaughn took me down fast. He's like, it worked that time. But unfortunately, there was a penalty. Bridgewater finished the day 7 of 8, 74 yards and a touchdown. His rating was 144.8. I mean, Vic Fangio, I'll give him this. As much crap as we've given him about the offensive side of the ball, he said this thing was 50-50. And through a month of training camp, he hasn't budged on that. He keeps saying it. No, there's no separation. There was no, I mean, there was a little separation, I thought. I definitely think Drew Lock won the day. There's no doubt in my mind Lock won the day. He was poised. And again, he's going up against a better, now I know it's more second mixed with first stringers on Minnesota's defense, but technically he's going against the better string. Teddy was all right. I thought one of his throws, he hit, who did he hit below? Was it when he hit, was it Saubert? The tight end, Saubert? He hit him underneath on a play action. He had, well, I don't remember if it was KJ Hamler or Trinity Benson over the top. They're running the same route. It's one of those where they're in the same line, but the wide receiver breaks off at the top, over the first down line and goes deeper on his in route. And so he had a 30-yard pass. He settled for the 5-yard pass that turned into a 20-yard gain. That's Bridgewater. That's what Locke failed to do last year, right? He didn't settle for those. He went deep. It all works if you can run the football. I mean, I tweeted this, and I'm not even getting excited. Colfax, Javonte Williams, the rookie running back, if he can run like that, it doesn't matter who your quarterback is. I tweeted that all day, by the way. I said, if this defense can play like that, it doesn't matter who your quarterback is. If you can run the ball that well, it doesn't matter. If you can return kicks like they did in that second half, it doesn't matter. And then I finally tweeted, if Drew Lock can throw touchdown passes like that, it doesn't matter who your quarterback. Wait a second. Okay, I got a little crazy with that. Bottom line, take this from what you will with a crappy Minnesota reserves mixed with starting lineup group. Quarterback play was okay. I mean, it was actually amazing if you want to go that far. Because if you, Brett Rippon, I mean, yeah, poor guy, yeah, didn't look good. 2 of 7, 24 yards, but take that out, and 14 of 22, 249 yards, 3 touchdowns. The rating overall between 3 quarterbacks, and again, remove Brett Rippon's 41, it was still 141.9 rating. Again, how they figure out the ratings, I don't know. You get into the 140s, you're doing pretty well. So you got to be pumped about that. It's going to be Drew, but the positive is when Drew goes, if Drew goes down or if he struggles, Teddy's going to come in. I was pleasantly surprised by Drew Lock's poise. He had one play where he looked like he was going to get sacked. He sat in the pocket, found a guy. He didn't roll to the right. That was something I don't even think the broadcasters were paying much attention to. I didn't see it in the Twitterverse. Drew Lock, time and time again, snapped the ball, looked for his first progression, wasn't there, I'm rolling right. And you started to see that on film, and so what teams would do is say, hey, take away his first option if we can figure what that is, and he's going to roll right, so be prepared on the left side of that defense. He didn't do any of that. The only time he actually rolled, he looked through 3 progressions and then ran for a nice little 8-yard gain. So you got to look at this and say, Drew, okay, 6-yard gain. That was pretty good. So, all right, 14 after the hour. Let's jump into the good, the bad, the ugly before we take a break. Good, bad, the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. I mean, the good is we already played it. But KJ Hamler, he looks good, man. And they did the reverse, but that play was wicked.
Put up defensively.
Uh-oh. KJ Hamler, center of the field, got behind Dantzler, who ain't running right. 80-yard touchdown. Lock Hamler.
I mean, I know Jerry Jeudy's been the talk of training camp, but KJ Hamler was the talk as far as the wide receivers are concerned of Saturday's game. The bad? Well, it's not really bad if you like watching exciting young quarterbacks. It's bad for Broncos fans. Justin Fields, he looked pretty good, didn't he?
Flag is thrown. Fields avoiding the pressure. Taking
like
off.
Right here.
Right on cue. Justin Fields to the end zone. We'll check the flag.
142 yards, 1 touchdown, 33 rushing yards, and a rushing touchdown. Ooh, that goes to our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. It's prediction game, folks. Who's going to have the better career? Patrick Sertan or Justin Fields? Brady, that's an impossible thing to answer, only one preseason game in. Okay, then answer it when their careers are all over. What? Then of course you can answer that question. It's the prediction game. Come on, where are your stones? The ugly. The Rockies. I mean, it's bad. It's just bad. They got to 10, and it's going to fizzle. I'm still just rooting for the 65 mark. That's where I am at this point. That's the good, the bad, the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. We're going to take a short break. Noob says, I love listening to other sports talk stations and how they're backtracking on their lock takes. That's why, I mean, listen, I, in the middle of the season last year, said, hey, I don't think Locke's the franchise guy for this team. And you can still say that while also saying, I think Drew Locke's going to beat out Teddy Bridgewater. And I think that Patrick Surtain was the right pick. Pick six, by the way. He was sensational. Eastside Chris, Brady, book your tickets to the Broncos Super Bowl now. That was an awesome performance Saturday. Can Surtain be the Kelce and Walter shutdown guy? Maybe Rocky should go with a first-time starting pitcher tonight and get a no-hitter against San Diego. Yeah, we're talking football today. You had it half right, Eastside Chris. And guess what, Colfax? We got Zach Stevens coming up next. I'm getting on your little train. The Broncos are going to the playoffs this year. Absolutely is happening. We'll be right back.
Colorado's voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. What do you think of that, Colfax?
My mind is blown.
They're from my wife, all right? I apparently I'm so egotistical now that my wife knows it. She bought socks with the whole show on it, and my face is now on my socks.
Those
my
are
face.
Amazing.
Yes, those are my face socks, is what we call them in the business. And I feel good about wearing them. I don't feel weird at all. I sometimes was like, I don't want to like cross my legs, and then my face pops up, and people are like, "That's even, your face is on your socks, you idiot." But yes, that's my life now. It's who I am, and I'm going to welcome it with open arms.
I need a pair of those.
Yes. With my face or your face? Does it matter?
Doesn't matter, both.
Is it worse when you have some other... You have my face on your socks now. It's... Oh, my goodness.
I don't know.
I would like to have some face socks of Zach Stevens. Is that a possibility, Zach Stevens of DNVR Bronco? What do you think, Zach? Can we make that happen? I'd like some face socks.
You know, Brady, thank you, Susan and Sherry. Brady, I'd wear your face on my feet.
All right, it's done. I'm sending you some face socks, and we're going to make, like, I think this is a big thing. I might be onto something here, you know? I mean, this is a big market, and it's untapped.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Well, all right, I'll get your address. We'll send them over. It won't be weird at all, and we'll make this thing happen.
I love it. I can't wait, Brady.
Zach, my friend, all right. I know it's preseason. It's 33-6, though. I mean, my goodness, was there anything that really went wrong for the Broncos over the weekend?
No. I mean, it was a fantastic game. You know, if you really want to dive in and find a negative, I can really only find one, Brady, and that's, you know, Cameron Fleming is not in this right tackle competition. And it was pretty clear a couple of weeks ago, but now it's very clear. Just because he had a very rough game, and Calvin Anderson looked good. Bobby Massey looked good. Really, the Broncos' offensive line looked great for both Drew and Teddy Bridgewater, and then both of those guys really, really thrived in the game.
Yeah, I mean, and I want to get to the game, the X's and O's of it, but just watching Drew Locke on the sideline, Zach, he seems, and you know this well more, way better than I do, just the way he's talking now, the way he's carrying himself, it's like he suddenly, a light went on, he's getting it, just the talking side of it. But then we go over to the field, he's poised, he stayed in the pocket. I didn't notice him wanting to, after the first progression, taking off, rolling right. He looked as good as you possibly could look.
He did. He absolutely did in every way. The stat sheet showed it. Watching showed it. And the 80-yard touchdown to KJ Hamler was fantastic. But we kind of knew Drew Lock could do that. We knew Drew Lock can throw the ball 60 yards in the air for an 80-yard touchdown. What we didn't know was, can he stay calm in the pocket? Can he show patience? Can he go through his reads? And that was something he really struggled with last year. And Brady, we saw it. We saw all of those things on Saturday, which is the most encouraging thing, because Drew Lock has the arm talent to make any throw, but can he develop the mental side of the game? And from what we saw Saturday, he absolutely did, making the right reads. And you know what? Credit to Pat Shurmur as well for really making a good game plan for Drew, because Drew, we knew it last year, he thrived off play action. He was one of the best in the league off play action, I believe only outside of Aaron Rodgers. And what did they do in this game? They set up the run. Credit to Javonte Williams and the offensive line on those first two plays for really allowing play action to work. And then they did play action pretty much every single drop back that Drew had, and it worked to perfection. So this offense, at least just looking at the first quarter and a half of what Drew was able to do in a preseason game, yes, it was against some backups, but Drew still went out there and did it. It shows that it's really taking steps in the right direction.
Well, that's what I like to see now, and I want to get into some other quarterbacks too. We saw Justin Fields and what he was doing, but I tend to look at a guy that stays in the pocket and just completes passes. It doesn't really matter to me as much when it's first, second string. If Justin Fields is running all over the place against third, fourth string guys, and that's still impressive. These are NFL guys. But if you're picking guys apart, you're making the right reads, I think that that's impressive whether you're going up against first guys, second guys, third guys, because you're going to need to do that at some point anyway. It gets harder to run against the first string guys. So going back to Drew and Teddy, I'm thinking, wow, all right, Drew looked perfect. All the pressure goes over to Teddy Bridgewater here. And Vic Fangio must know what he's talking about, Zach, because Teddy comes right in. And he makes all the right reads. He makes the right throws. I think maybe there was one time where he might have had a deeper play. He goes for the short route, but completes it, and they move right down the field. So Drew maybe won the day, but Teddy wasn't too far behind him.
No, exactly. And Brady, this is what you want to have seen from this quarterback competition the entire time. Now, you like that they turned it on when it mattered the absolute most, but I was sitting here just the middle of last week saying, this is almost a worst-case scenario, because during the two joint practices, Brady, you had Drew really lose a day. That's why Teddy won. And then the other day, you had Teddy really lose a day. That's why Drew won that day. And neither guy was taking off with this. And then in the game, both guys take off with it. So it's okay if this is an even quarterback competition, because both guys are doing well and showing a ton of promise. And that's what we saw on Saturday. So right now, the Broncos are sitting in a really good spot, especially compared to where they were coming into the game. And right now, you would feel okay with either of those guys starting against the Giants from what we saw on Saturday. Now, you do hope to see a little bit of separation this coming week, and if it goes into the third preseason game, you want to see some clear separation, but you want to see it by Drew taking off, not by Drew losing this to Teddy.
Do you see a situation, and I want to get to more pieces from Saturday's game, but do you see a situation where Drew goes into Seattle's game, and again, Teddy's starting, Drew will come off the bench, where Drew looks at it more so, says, hey, I'm not going to take any major risks because I showed that I can get the ball down the field. I'm just not going to take too many crazy risks because I feel pretty good about where the competition is. Or do you think, no, Drew's going to come out there still with something to prove and try to light it up?
Yeah, I think Drew's going to try to prove something and try to light it up. But Brady, if I am his agent or advising him, I would say go plan A, because look, just don't lose the job this week. Because of what he did, just don't make big mistakes in practice. Don't make big mistakes in the game against Seattle, especially because you're going to be going up against one of the worst secondaries, and you're going to be going up against their backups. So you really don't need to force anything in this game. We already saw that you can make the 80-yard throw. We already saw that you can make big plays to KJ Hamler. We already saw that you can move the ball downfield. So if I'm advising him, be smart. But one of Drew's things is he's always going to have the gunslinger in the back of his head. And it's adjusted this year to being a calculated gunslinger, as he calls it. But he's always going to be looking for the chances if they're there.
All right. I know a lot of my listeners hate when I do this, but I'm doing it anyway. Zach, if the season were to start today, not end today, like many of us like to say, start today, Who's the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos?
I think in most people's eyes, it's Drew Lock. I think in Vic Fangio's eyes, it's Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy has been a little more consistent throughout camp without making mistakes. Now, he's had a couple of very bad days where he's made a ton of mistakes each day. But Drew has done a great job over these past couple of days of really bringing that closer in my mind. I think Ty is going to go to Teddy right now. I truly do believe Vic when he says this thing is even, Steven, even though a lot of people think that's crazy. I do think it's close. The tie goes to Teddy in Vic's mind, but Drew really does have an opportunity to grab the job and be the starting quarterback in 1 week from now, Brady.
Hey, you know what it does, though, Zach, is it makes Saturday's game very interesting as well. So it's not, if we would have already known who it was, then yeah, we don't care. Let's move on to the regular season. But now Saturday's game becomes must-see television.
It does. It does. And, man, the preseason is now fun for, what, 30 other teams in the NFL. It stinks for the Broncos. It's great.
All right, KJ Hamler. I know the talk of it's been of Jerry Jeudy in training camp, of course. And what's that going to mean for Courtland Sutton? Hamler, we can mix that together. Two receptions, 105 yards, a touchdown. But you tweeted this out. He had a 5-yard little end-around thing, and boy, do I like seeing that more than I do Noah Fant. Any day of the week, I want to go KJ Hamler on that. I know it's only a few plays, but this guy is explosive.
Oh, my gosh, he's explosive. He's electric. Brady, he can be the Broncos' biggest playmaker on this team. That's what he brings. You didn't see a lot of consistency at Penn State. That's one of the reasons why he fell. He dealt with a lot of injuries. He dealt with drops at Penn State. That's why he, and then he also didn't get to run the 40 because of an injury at the combine. That's why he fell to the second round. But in terms of playmaking ability, he is absolutely a first round talent. The key for him, and we heard George Payton say it this past week, we heard Vic Fangio say it, and we've obviously known this as well, is just staying healthy. If he stays healthy, that's what he gives you. And you look to his best game of last year, he had 2 catches, 2 touchdowns, 86 yards against the Carolina Panthers. Well, what did he do this week in one quarter? 2 catches, 105 yards, and a touchdown. He's not a guy that's going to get 100 receptions in this coming season, but he's a guy that could average a ridiculous yards per catch. He could be up there at 20 yards per catch with, you know, a ton of touchdowns compared to the amount of catches he has. He's a guy that, man, does he just open up this defense and then not, or this offense, because he takes the top off defenses. And if they're not going to respect that, then Drew or Teddy are going to hit him. And then if they start respecting it, then it just opens up the bottom for the run game and also for Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton.
Now, the run game, let's get into that. Didn't see Melvin Gordon, but we saw Javonte Williams. If you're still sad about Philip Lindsay, I think you forgot all about Philip Lindsay watching his first few carries. He just runs downhill. He can move. He got the stiff arm. I mean, he looks like a prototypical veteran stud NFL running back, and I know it's preseason, but you got to like what you saw.
Yeah, and you have some veteran players saying that he's the calmest guy that they've seen and just brings a calming effect to the offense, which is just crazy during this guy's first NFL action that he's the one bringing a calming presence. So it shows that the moment's not going to be too big for him. And I think it's going to really help him sharing the reps with Melvin Gordon. But what I really like about Javonte, he runs downhill, but he's a guy that has the explosion to where if it needs to be kicked to the outside, he can do that and still make a big play out of that, but he can also work in the middle of the field. You know, Royce Freeman, he's really a guy who's just going to go up the middle. Philip Lindsay, we really saw last year that the Broncos only wanted to use him on the outside or just smash him up. With Javonte Williams, you can do both of those things, and that is going to be huge for the Broncos this year, and it also just shows that he can really be a bell cow back after this year.
All right, we can't get away from this interview without talking about the man, Patrick Surtain. Didn't even mean to rhyme there. But you tweeted this. You said, hey, we're not paying any attention at all to Patrick Surtain, and it's absolutely beautiful because he's doing what great corners do, and that's lock down people. But then as the game kind of went on, that first half, he had a nice pass breakup, and then, of course, the pick six. I know, again, I'm going to preface everything with, I know it's preseason, but doesn't he remind you of what a shutdown corner looks like?
He does. He really does. And Brady, I'm not going to lie, I have flashbacks to Champ Bailey when watching him because he was shut down. And then when he realized, boy, they're never going to throw the ball my way, he started to bait the quarterback, yeah. which I absolutely love. And that's what he did on the first pass breakup that he had in the red zone. He baited the quarterback, just broke perfectly. There was no chance the defender was going to catch that, and the wide receiver is going to catch that. And then with his interception, he was reading the quarterback the entire time, knew when to break on it. When he did, there was no chance of the offense stopping what he was doing. It is incredible just how good he is, and that's him on the outside. The game, he's going to be inside, outside. I don't know when quarterbacks are going to stop throwing his way, but Brady, it's crazy to say, for a rookie, it might happen pretty quick in this season.
It's crazy. Even early on, playing, doing what you're supposed to do, but then, as you said, getting so confident in your ability that you're going to bait quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I mean, NFL quarterbacks, I don't care what string you are, you're an NFL quarterback. So certainly exciting times for Patrick Surtain. One more for you, a guy that you've talked to us a lot about. I tweeted about him too, and what you've referenced, but it did seem like when you look at Mr. Sternad, he was all over. Justin Sternad was all over the field. He made some big plays. I like his closing speed on the ball. He seems to get to the ball carrier fast.
Yeah, and I think that's a huge thing because Brady, he doesn't have to be perfect in coverage, especially his first year playing in the NFL. He doesn't have to be perfect. And in fact, on a pass where the running back caught it out of the backfield, Sternad was like 4 or 5 yards off him when he caught it. And then a second later, he was tackling him for a gain of 0 on the plate. That's what he brings. And another thing that I was so impressed with is he's supposed to be that coverage linebacker. He was also looking very comfortable in the run game. And one thing that I've seen since Josie Jewell's been out at practice is Justin Sternad actually playing over Alexander Johnson in some dime packages that the Broncos have. So this isn't just a guy where you can look forward to him being on the field next year. This is a guy where you can look forward to him having a role this year. And in fact, I think Vic Fangio's ideal scenario is playing dime with Surtain as the dime, really playing all over the field, and then Justin as the only linebacker on the field. Now, if he grasps the mental side of the game and he's good enough in the run game, I think we're going to see that a lot this year.
Yeah, boy, that's going to be fun just to see how this defense really operates. And again, that's without a lot of their studs out there on the field. So preseason, I'm excited about it. Cannot wait. But, of course, on the other side of this whole spectrum, we're talking about Justin Fields. Justin Fields came in later after Andy Dalton. He had a slow start but ended up with an absolute miraculous finish to his day. And, of course, now you have fans saying, man, did we miss out.
Yeah, and that's unfortunately going to live with George Payton for as long as Justin Fields is relevant, and he's also fun to watch. You know, Drew's 80-yard touchdown was fun to watch, but Justin just does it a different way, by running. He had a running touchdown. He had a passing touchdown. He did start slow, but still, he finished 14 of 20, you know, 150 yards, and that's just something that the Broncos aren't going to be able to shake. Now, if Drew Lock pans out, well, then George Payton, you know, made the right call by getting what I think is going to be an all-pro cornerback. And if Drew Lock does well, but if Justin Fields is better than Drew Lock and Justin Fields is a really good quarterback, then there's just nothing that the Broncos are going to be able to say to make that pick right.
Now, Zach, I'm asking a controversial question. A lot of the hooligans don't enjoy this question today because they think it's kind of crazy. But prediction time. Who's going to have the better career, Patrick Surtain or Justin Fields? Now, if Fields goes on to be a average to above average quarterback, then that means Surtain has to be like a Hall of Fame corner because we judge corners so much differently than quarterbacks. But I think it's a valid question. We're certainly following Bradley Chubb and Josh Allen in their careers.
Yeah, and that's just why I think it's so hard to bet against the positional value here. You know, a lot of people view Justin as a top 10 pick. And if you get a top 10 pick at quarterback and you don't have to trade up for him and you need a quarterback, that's so hard to pass up on. And if Justin Fields is a franchise quarterback, meaning making a couple of Pro Bowls throughout his year, not even fantastic, but just that type of career, even a Hall of Fame career from Patrick Surtain probably isn't going to live up to it unless the Broncos are able to find that quarterback that is that caliber, and then people will forget about it. But really, it doesn't matter how good Justin or Patrick Surtain is. If Justin Fields is good, unfortunately, then the pick is still going to be viewed as bad.
Surtain has to be Champ Bailey. Justin Fields has to be, I don't know. I mean, just kind of an Andy Dalton type guy, kind of an average type player.
Yeah. A Jay Cutler. He made a couple of Pro Bowls, three Pro Bowls. And, you know, Chicago, they have their roots there. And, of course, Jay has his roots in Denver, too. So, and it's crazy when you think of, would you rather have Champ Bailey or Jay Cutler? You're like, well, I'd way rather have Champ Bailey. But then you think of, well, what if the quarterback position is the Case Keenums of the world for the next 10 or 15 years?
That's true. It's an interesting thought to see how this goes. But if Patrick Surtain can just, like, return 30 interceptions for touchdowns this season, then we can put this thing to bed, right? And it's over.
Yeah, won a game. It is over. He'll be a Hall of Famer after this year.
Oh, I love it. Zach, my friend, always appreciate it. Love following what you do. I'm always thinking about our conversations when we're watching games as well, so we appreciate you for that, my friend.
Hey, Brady, really appreciate it. Love catching up.
All right, man. That's Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos, 40 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out of here real fast, Colfax, and let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Forty-five minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. Thanks to Rev Chiropractic. I just went in there today, and man, people are getting the word about Rev. It was packed in there. There were people ready to go. I've seen people anywhere from my age to younger to kids that kind of look like they're perhaps athletes looking to get better to middle-aged to a little bit beyond middle-aged. We come in with a limp, they leave with some kind of a spark in their eye, man. You see that there's progress there. That's Rev Chiropractic, Dr. Tyler Terry, Dr. Haley Harada. They're located in Greeley off of 35th Avenue near Home Depot. It's in that same parking lot. And I've been going there since January. And, man, I kind of went in with a little crick. You know, the older you get, you sleep wrong. You know, they're like, hey, get 8 hours of sleep. And then you get 8 hours of sleep. And then apparently you did that wrong, though, because you slept wrong. So you go in, not feeling too whippy. I pop out of there. I'm in there for 5 minutes, man. I go in. Dr. Tyler Terry, we're at that point now where he knows what I need. He knows what my back's doing. So he hits the trigger spots. I walk out. I'm feeling upright, making it to my car. So I'm pumped. I'm going to go as long as I need because I know, you know, just like anything, it can go out of whack eventually. It's just like exercise. If you stop exercising, you're not going to be in shape anymore. So I do appreciate the great work that the excellent folks over at Rev Chiropractic do. You know, like I said, it's packed, but they get through it while being thorough, if that makes sense. They find that perfect balance. I don't know how they do it. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. Weld County Swami says, talking about Drew Locke, it's the consistency, though, too. When he first came in, he looked great. But then he was the guy. When he was the guy, he couldn't do it. Yes, but we still have to try to look at this and say Drew Locke was extremely young. You know, in those five first games of his career, let's face it, not a lot to play for, not a lot of pressure, season's lost, and you have literally nowhere to go but up. So he found ways to make some things happen. And again, it was against teams that maybe weren't the greatest in the world. But you do look at the next season. All right, new offensive coordinator. No real offseason that we've seen in the past. And apparently that's been a big deal for Drew. Look how much better he looked just in that game and his poise and his demeanor. I know it's one quarter and a half, but you still saw something. It's like I said, you can't, if they light it up, which they both did, it's hard to walk away and go, well, there you go. They're both amazing. But if they both were bad or average, the headlines would have been awful today, right? Oh, the Broncos have no prayer. They can't even complete a pass against Minnesota in a preseason game. Instead, it was perfect. It was literally perfect, at least for Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater. I think Vic Fangio, I know he's trying to save his job, but if George Payton and Vic are truly on the same side, Zach just told us, Drew's probably winning the job. According to us, but not according to Vic. And if you're George Payton, you're the GM. What's more important, your job as GM or Vic's job as head coach? You're going to come in and say, this is the right move for the future of the franchise. We want to get Drew in there. He won the job. We want to see if he's the franchise guy, because then I can waste another draft pick on a defensive guy next year, and you could really have a good defense. But Vic's going to go with the safe option so he can win games, you know, field goals, a couple of touch, maybe two touchdowns a game, maybe a field goal or two, but he relies on his defense to do what they did in 2015. That's his ideal world. So I think at some point, George Payton, if that's the case, if that's really the case, doesn't George Payton have to come in and say, hey, if it's 50-50, we need to go with the younger guy that has a higher ceiling. We know what Teddy's going to do. This is who he is. He's Steady Teddy, man. I mean, he's going to be an average quarterback. Drew could potentially be really good. He could potentially be really bad. But the point is, he has a higher ceiling. And I think if it's 50-50 or even close, you got to go Drew. And if Vic goes with Teddy, then obviously it's short-sighted. And you know why, because he's out for his own job. But does George Payton, as GM, say, hey, if it's that close, as an organization, we need to go with a guy like that? Or you have the belief that GMs shouldn't dabble when it comes to on the field. You know, I get the guys, I give you the groceries and all that stuff. You got to make it. You use your own ingredients. Because I'm torn there. But if it's something that's truly 50-50 when we walk away, I think you have to go to Vic and say, dude, you go with the younger option that has the higher ceiling. 12:50 the time. We'll take a short break. We'll wrap up the first hour. We are switching gears at 1 o'clock, Rams fans. All things Ellison Hubbard, the Ellison Hubbard Show, starting just a few minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. We'll be excited to talk to Ellison. They had a big scrimmage on Saturday. What did that look like for Colorado State? When do we start putting in the game plan for South Dakota State? It's not that far away, folks. We'll be right back. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy.
It's Greeley West Day and 13 Days, 13 Teams, presented by Bagley Family Dental. Tonight at 5 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Glad you could get us here. I'm trying to confirm a few things. Well, we got a text from someone who said JT Shrout is out for CU. Yeah, we did see that. Brian Howell confirms that JT Shrout, quarterback that was in the competition for the Buffs with Brendan Lewis, has a significant knee injury and will miss an extended period of time. He was injured during Saturday's scrimmage. Again, according to Brian Howell of the CU Buff Zone, the way the depth chart looks right now then is Brendan Lewis to start, more than likely, the freshman. Drew Carter, a true freshman behind him. And then Jordan Wolverton, another true freshman walk-on. And this is the risk that, of course, losing to Sam Noyer, and teams want to hang on to guys like that, and that's where you go, oh, that's the bummer of the transfer portal for the Buffs, but better for the player overall. So it looks like it's going to be Brendan Lewis for the Colorado Buffaloes. All right, I couldn't say that in the second hour, so I had to get that out, Colfax. Otherwise, Ellison might hurt me of some kind. Our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Who's going to have the better career? Prediction time. Patrick Surtain or Justin Fields? Let's face it. Surtain has to be Champ Bailey, and for Justin Fields, he has to be more like a kind of an average type guy. Jay Cutler, maybe. Champ Bailey or Jay Cutler? I think you'd say Champ Bailey, who's a Hall of Famer. All right, Ellison Hubbard Show is coming up next, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.